Welcome to Nieman Storyboard from the Nieman Foundation for Journalism at Harvard University. I'm Cynthia Graber. Over the next few minutes, I'm going to discuss the basics of audio production and what you need to understand to get started in podcasting.
Welcome to Strangers from KCRW and Radiotopia.
This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars.
Hello and welcome to the Longform Podcast. I'm Evan Ratliff.
You're listening to Radiolab from Public Radio,
WNYC,
and NPR.
I want to talk about production values and the behind-the-scenes work that helps create what you hear. A well-produced podcast will help keep your listeners' attention and pull them into your story. I had this discussion with my co-host Nicola Twilley when we decided to launch a new podcast called Gastropod. Until now, she'd only worked in print. We'd be buying her quality equipment, and I planned to teach her to record audio. But I needed her to understand the amount of effort that goes into different types of shows. This way, we could be realistic about what we could accomplish together, just the two of us, and decide what our show could and should sound like. So this is similar to our discussion. Here, for you, I'll lay out a few things to think about in terms of production values. I'll talk about the quality of the sound and the amount of writing and editing that can be done on a script, and then how some shows use audio like music or on-site ambient sounds. First, and perhaps most obvious, sound quality. Max Linsky at the Longform Podcast admitted to me that they first thought making a podcast was as simple as placing a cheap microphone on the table during an interview and leaving it there. I actually gasped when he told me that. This is how distant the resulting sound was.
And when you sit down that first time, do you know the beginning and the end?
Yeah. Yes. I only started a story. It's not very often that I start stories and I don't know how they're going to end. I did the Uganda feature that I did, actually. I wasn't totally sure.
It's not clear or intimate. The interviewer and subject sound far from the listeners. It's bad audio, and it means some listeners might just turn it off. I've heard video professionals say that good sound is just as or more important than a good visual. Now, Longform has a studio in the office for interviews, and here's what it sounds like.
I don't have any idea how you started. I know you started at The Economist.
Yeah, I was never that guy getting people coffee. Luckily, I mean, I say, but not with a sense of arrogance, but just a sense of luck.
That's a world better. Okay, Nicola and I knew we wanted good sound, but what next? I needed her to understand the level of work that could go into producing the podcast. Take the science podcast Inquiring Minds. It involves two hosts. They chat at the beginning, sometimes with a guest, and then one hosts an in-depth interview. In this clip, they're about to launch into a discussion about whether human bites carry health hazards. You'll actually hear me as a guest.
FIFA just ruled on this, and he has been banned from the rest of the World Cup. So
yeah, I was just gonna say, like, doesn't he have a nickname? The cannibal. I mean, yeah. it just kind of boggles my mind that this man has continued to be allowed to play.
Well, and I would say getting him sent home is a score for soccer and a score for human hygiene. They do a great deal of research beforehand, but they don't do much editing to the resulting conversations or interviews. The engineer clears up any false starts and makes it all sound great, but they run their conversations almost as is. That means they can produce a podcast every week with only three people who are not working on it full time. On other shows, an editor might make the conversation dramatically shorter than it was in real life. This can serve to tighten the resulting interview and perhaps make it flow more smoothly, but it also takes additional editing time. These approaches to run interviews and conversations with little editing, this works well if your guest is an expert who's comfortable talking about their favorite subject. It's not a great fit for a more narrative style, as I'll be discussing soon. So let's get into more complicated script writing and sound engineering. Until now, none of the podcasts you've heard write a detailed script other than interview questions or bullet points for a conversation. But here's an episode of Strangers. Like the Longform podcast, there's only one interview involved.
And I was fascinated by the way she was so unapologetically herself. Not overly concerned with passing, as she says, meaning with hiding her maleness so she could pass for a woman. And more than just the fact that she was transgender. That's what drew me to her story.
There's that sort of, you know, tyranny of passing, which is to disappear. That's how it feels to me. It's like to disappear into the other gender.
But this sounds different. The interview is dramatically edited down from the original, and the host wrote a script around it. Just that act of script writing takes time and effort, and it can be crucial for a longer narrative. If you were writing a narrative magazine story, you wouldn't take an interview and throw it up on the page. You have to craft the shape of the piece to build tension and keep the story moving. And there's one other element.
On the other hand, is that inner urge of like, yeah, but really I'd much rather be female.
Music. Adding in sound elements such as music takes a higher level of audio engineering, but these can help guide the listener. They can affect the mood of the piece or just improve the overall listening experience. Generally, it's not a good idea to add audio that sounds like it could be in the scene if you didn't tape it there. Don't add bird sounds if you're describing a farm, but you didn't record the birds on site, for example. I should say, you may hear shows do this, but it's usually clear that it's a kind of theatrical addition. But scene setting with audio elements is particularly crucial when you get to in-the-field interviewing or reporting. Collecting on-site sound takes additional audio recording skills, and mixing it also involves advanced engineering. Here's a podcast that goes one step further into editing interviews, writing a script, and adding sounds, Planet Money. Here's an episode investigating why milk is always at the back of the store.
Can you tell me where the milk is?
Last aisle at the end of the back of the store.
Last aisle at the end of the back of the store?
Mm-hmm.
It's in the very back corner of the store. Milk!
This clearly takes dramatically more time to put together. There's the reporting stage, as there are a good half dozen interview voices in this piece. There's writing and editing the script around cuts from the different interviews. And then there's mixing all these cuts in with the reporters and the scene elements and sometimes music. But if your podcast is about a topic or a bigger story than just one person's tale, this can make for a richer, more complete experience for the listeners. It also helps transport the listeners directly into the scenes you're describing. And then, finally, the pinnacle of high production values, Radiolab.
Just to set a baseline, your normal rainbow goes like this, starting bottom up.
3, 2, 1.
It's been described as radio theater. In this example, they're using a choir to help illustrate the idea of colors.
In the case of the dog...
Very different rainbow.
It's going to start off blue. He'll be able to see blue just fine.
So it would see a rainbow starting with blue.
Same blue we see.
And then grading off into green.
Same green as us.
And then disappearing.
They not only use on-site interviews and ambient sound from the scenes and mix in music, but, as you heard, they play with sound. It's unusual and it's not for everyone, though I love it, and millions of people around the world adore the show. Radiolab uses sound incredibly creatively to bring science and other topics to life in surprising and immersive ways. Though I've built these podcasts up in complexity, I'm not actually making a value judgment. There's a definite appeal to the looser, chatty conversation of programs like Longform, and there's a different appeal to scripted stories like Strangers and Planet Money, or the highly produced, sound-rich Radiolab. But Planet Money is a spin-off of This American Life and has many people on staff. And because Radiolab takes so long to develop, edit, and mix, it's not released every week. In fact, the full-hour version is not even released every month. So if you're thinking about starting a podcast, these are all questions you need to ask yourself. I'd encourage you to start with a baseline of good sound and an idea of how frequently you want to produce the podcast. The next questions could go like this. How many interviews will you include? Will you present them basically as they are, or will you edit them? Will you write a script around cuts from interview subjects? Or will it be a full-blown reported piece with many different voices and scenes? Will you mix in music or ambient sound? Maybe you want a mix. Certainly, any one podcast can use a variety of production techniques and storytelling approaches. These all will influence both the skills and time necessary to produce your podcast and its final sound. While there's a bit of a learning curve to get started, the field of podcasting is open for storytelling and experimentation. Read more about podcasting in the summer 2014 edition of Nieman Reports or online at niemanreports.org. Thanks for joining me on this podcast for Nieman Storyboard from the Nieman Foundation for Journalism at Harvard University. I'm Cynthia Graber, co-host of the new podcast Gastropod. You can find it at gastropod.com.